The groups used to come to El Samaj. He used to give them the following story, and I think it's what he's talking about here is, you know, they have these, in the literature, they have these, you know, you make a deal with the devil, you know, and you get whatever you want, but he gets his, you know, pound of flesh. So I said, imagine if you make a deal with Hashem. He'll come to you and he gives you a stopwatch, and he says to you, this stopwatch is running, and when you push the button, you have everything you have at that moment. That's what you get. So when you're happy with everything you have, push the button. There's only one problem. If you don't push it in time, okay, you get nothing. You don't really know when that's going to happen, but whatever, in a few years' time, whatever. If you don't push the button, you're there. So when do you push the button? He asked, this was a question he used to ask these new guys that came in off the street. So it's not such a nice question. So everybody says, you know what, when I get my university degree, I'm going to make my first million or whatever. And I remember he used to say, you're an idiot. Push it now. Yeah, but I haven't got this and I haven't got that.
Yeah, you don't know.
Push it now, because now's all you're ever going to have. That's what he used to, they started off the introduction to Yeshiva. Most guys left straight away, and the few that stayed eventually. The few that stayed went on to becoming rabbis. But that's the Vortia. It's kind of like, I'll get round to serving you Hashem when everything's in place and when I've got everything I need in order to feel secure and safe for the next 150 years. That's who he's talking to here. So we had six already. We saw six reasons why that's what he calls foolishness in the extreme to do such a thing. And we're on to the last of the seven. I'm going to go through the six quickly just to summarize. We can get quickly. So the first one was, we said that a worker doesn't even give a mashkin to the person he's working for, and certainly not an eved. The second was, no matter how much money he'll manage to get, it's never going to be enough for him. He'll never ever get to what he needs before he's able to start serving Hashem. When he gets 100, he'll want 200. He's got 200, he'll want 400. He never knows how long he's going to live. He doesn't know how many children he's going to have. So he's got to keep collecting. He'll never stop. Third one is how do you have the chutzpah to ask Hashem for a mashkin when you owe him more than he owes you, so to speak? It's like you borrow money, you lend money to somebody, lend him $100, and you're asking for a mashkin when you owe him $50,000. That was the third one. The fourth one is the three reasons why you mashkin somebody on Shaykh by Hashem. The first one is because you make sure you want to get paid. What are the three reasons? What are the three reasons you take a mashkin? Oh, the first one is because you're worried the guy's not going to pay you back. Second of all, so the first one is the person will want to pay you back, but he won't. He won't have the ability to. The second one is he won't want to. He might have the ability, but you met people like that, yeah? They think it's their money after a while, and then it's like, why should I pay you back? And then the third one is because he's worried the guy will die before he pays back his chayv. So with none of those are problems with Hashem. If Hashem says he'll pay you back, he'll pay you back. You don't have to worry about he won't be able to. You don't have to worry about that he lied or that he changed his mind, because Hashem's not fickle. And you don't have to worry about Hashem dying. You have to worry about yourself dying. You don't have to worry about Hashem dying. You're not going to die. Okay, those are the six reasons why it's ludicrous to ask Hashem for a mashkin. Okay, seventh reason. That's not enough. I'm taking a mashkin for you because I have to provide a service. I'm giving you something, and in return for that, you're giving me a mashkin. I have to be able to give you what you're giving me the mashkin for. I'm lending you $50,000, and you're going to give me a mashkin for $50,000. I have to be able to give you the $50,000. No one ever mortgaged the house to the bank, and the bank couldn't give them the money that they wanted. So that's why, before you take a mashkin, make sure that you can pay the guy what you agreed to. This person that's mashkin as Hashem, meaning he wants his goodness before he'll do what he's supposed to do. He has no way to fulfill his obligations in return for what Hashem is giving him. He's not even sure that he can pay back Hashem the chovus that he already has from before. Now he wants new chovus, and on the basis of the new chovus he'll serve Hashem. Who says you're going to be able to do that? The kol shekain she'ein betuach she'erich lamed b'yischaivus hachadashot she'lokeach ha'atzma al b'zeh. The kol shekain, he doesn't know that he'll be able to pay Hashem back tomorrow. She'afilo adam shu tzadik, even a guy who's the big tzadik. Einu pores ha'chaivus ha'mutol lov avu ha'toivus she'elokim meitiv imo. Even he's not able to pay back all the goodness that is incumbent on him to pay back to Hashem for all the goods that he does for him. Only by the means that Hashem helps him to do it. You can't serve Hashem without Hashem helping you. One of the Hasidim is to praise Hashem following. Even a maskil, somebody who's got incredible seichel, that is standing and understands your greatness and your goodness. Even if he's reached enormous levels of greatness, he doesn't praise his ma'isim. Ela b'shimcha b'rachamecha, he praises Hashem's name and Hashem's rachamim, because he understands everything I'm doing, I couldn't do without Hashem helping me. I can't breathe without Hashem. So I'm paying back Hashem. I'm doing a korban. Whose korban is it? Who gave you the behema? Who gave you the hands to shecht it? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the means to buy it? All the tzidkas that you see in the world is only because Hashem is helping them. And you're the one that they all praising. We praise your name all the day, and we say thank you to Hashem all the time. So how can you ask Hashem for a mashkin on the basis of which you're going to pay him back for that mashkin? How are you going to pay him back? How do you know that you're going to be able to pay it to him? You take a mashkin from somebody because you're going to lend him $50,000, you don't know where you're going to get the money from. That's ein chutzpah gadol mizeh. Fine. So that's Perek Vav, the cut of people who won't serve Hashem until they got what they need. Seven reasons why that's foolish chutzpah ozus. Okay, now he's going to discuss the things that interfere with a person having betochen. The Shara B'chin he discusses is right at the beginning, like the first thing he discusses. Shara B'chin is right at the end. Explains all the things that are going to get in the way of causing a person to lose his betochen. Going to bring you up, I think it was 10 levels of the Tochen or something, I think, I don't know, let's see. Not a very long chapter, and then we'll finish with this, and then you have to start thinking about what you want to do after this. Put it to the Oilam. Now that we've completed all the matters that are relevant to this gate, the gate of the Tochen, according to our ability to understand, everyone according to his grasp. It's very important now to explain what are the things that cause a person to lose betochen. Now that everybody's a baal betochen, we've been learning betochen, everyone's got betochen now, we all baal betochen, so now you have to be careful, because there's things that cause you to lose your betochen. If you don't have any betochen, you don't have to worry about this, you're in good shape, you can't lose it because you don't have it. But if you have any betochen, you want to protect it, what are the things that can cause you to lose it? He says like this: all the things that causes a person to lose his imuna in the yichud of Elohim, es habechina, ves avodas Elohim, the three chapters, the three sharim before, shara yichud, shara bechina, and shara avodas Elohim, and then comes shara betochen, number four. All the things that cause load to get lost. We mentioned at the end of all the gates, Inshallah, he mentions right in the beginning. We'll have to look at it. All right. At the end of all the previous states, ma'abdi ma'adem gamas habatochen. Those are the things that cause the person to lose the betochen. So now we have to go there and learn and see what he said there. What are the things that cause you to lose emunah in yichud elokim and in bechina and in avodas elokim? So at the end of Shana Bechina, very vav at the end there. He brings down five things that prevent a person from having their bechina, but he says it applies to betochen. So let's just give a quick summary of them. I'm not going to go through the whole perek, but just the leif tov gives a summary. So what are the five things? Hashituv shel avodah zora or kavona zora el avodas Hashem. That is the whole subject, because we don't think we shaykh to avodah zora, but we are to a certain extent. Including in one's avodas Hashem, avodah zora. Second, haradifa achrehev la'ilam hazeh, the pursuing of all the nonsense of this world will cause a person to lose betochen. Ha'hergel b'toyves Hashem mikatnuso, the fact that we are rogil to get everything we get from Hashem, you know, nobody stops to think about what a miracle is that you can see. Because I'm used to it, I was born with eyes and I can see and I can see and I can see. If a person would, God forbid, lose his sight, wake up one morning, God forbid, you can't see. And for 3 years he couldn't see. And after 3 years of ishtadlis and whatever, and phoning the doctors and whatever, he woke up and when he could see. How many times would he hit the snooze button? Why wouldn't he hit the snooze button? Because he can see. Yeah. So I can also see. So why do I hit the snooze button? And another question, how long will it take him before he starts hitting the snooze button? 3 days, a week, month if he's a goyim. We get mulgal in what we have, so therefore we don't take time out to recognize it. The fourth reason, hakishleinus sheyesh la'odom, this is a big one, it's a very big one, this one. With the kids, this is a hard one to deal with. Of the failures that a person has. Hagrem leis kufa tevel Hashem, the bad things that happen. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why did this happen to me and why did that happen and whatever? And you have kashas, you have steerers. You know, come out of a holocaust and have betochen in Hashem and a person goes bankrupt, God forbid, he's got sick kids or whatever, you go have betochen in Hashem now. That's an enormous, enormous challenge. And the fifth one is gaiva. Hamavir sa'odim lachshev kilo atoivis magiyoslo. He thought he was magiyali. Va'enu chayev tmurosom toido avoida. He doesn't think that he owes anything because of all this goodness that's coming to him. Either because he's mulgal in it, so he just doesn't think about it, or because he's a kofu toiv, he's a bal gaiv, and he thinks magieli. So those five things will prevent a person from any one of these aspects of avodas Hashem, and he relates it to betochen as well, and now he adds another one. V'davar noisef, over and above those five things, ma'avad ma'adam esa betochen, v'hu, chaysa hayadir, a lacking of understanding, v'yuchaylis habilti mebele shel aboira, in the unlimited abilities of Hashem. We don't have a proper understanding of the infinite oneness of Hashem, to put it into our language. In the way he conducts himself, in the midas toivas he has. A person who doesn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards and looks after and is mashgiach and rules over everything, that a person is bound with thick bonds, whatever, to Hashem, and that he can't do anything without Hashem's reshus or kenegedis ratzon, except for bechira in parentheses that needs to be discussed. Adam Shani Maven is called Ze Loye Liboy Venuch Miadaigas. The person who doesn't understand this will never have tranquility from worry. And he won't trust and rely on Hashem's conduct and Hashem's Hashgacha. If you take 1,000 Jews and put them in a room and ask them, if any of you could change one thing in the world, what would you change? How many people would say nothing? Ask yourself, was there anything in your life now you could change? What would you change? Would anybody say nothing? Be honest with yourselves, you don't have to answer. I know too many people would say, I wouldn't change anything. Yeah, another $1,000 a month, the sick kid will get better, this will happen, that'll... Who's writing the script here? Shem's writing the script. You want to help him write the script? Let's be honest with ourselves where our real is here. Don't be embarrassed. It's very hard for us to accept the fact that everything is biduk the way it's supposed to be. Biduk!
Moshe Rabbeinu is Paro. He doesn't understand what he's going.
I'll tell you, it's a big challenge. We have to be real with ourselves. We don't have to pretend we're somebody we're not. That's easy to do. You have to be very real. Where am I really holding? And that's great. That's good news if you can understand where you're really holding, even if you feel a bit embarrassed. Don't tell anyone. They don't have to be embarrassed. Hashem's fine with it. He put you there. You have to be embarrassed in front of Hashem because of where you're holding. He knows where you're holding. He wants you there. But we have to spend more time learning and understanding who Hashem is. We don't spend enough time learning Hashem. We've mentioned many times here the Maisi with Menashe, who illustrates this very, very well. Menashe? You know what we're talking about? Menashe, you were here for the Menashe story? There was one Jew that wasn't here for Menashe, you were here for Menashe?
I wasn't.
You weren't? Good, we've got two Jews, fine, we never have to hear it again. Menashe was one of the greatest Rishonim that ever lived. He was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was so great that he was going to be Mashiach except for one tiny little problem that he had there, that even Hashem never saw, Kaviyachol, the Midas Adin that you pointed out to him. Gemara says Hashem was about to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach. Midas Adin came along and said, but what about this? Hashem said, Itaki, you're right. Can't be Mashiach. Whatever that Gemara is talking, you have to understand the Gemara. But we're trying to understand how great Chizkiyahu was. And he didn't want to have children because he thought with Ruach HaKodesh, what a Rosh Menashe was going to be. And you know the story, Yishaya Novi came to him and said, what are you doing? He said, Hashem, you run the world. Hashem runs the world. You're going to have children. So Yishai says, I'll marry you to my daughter. Yishai Novi. I'll give you my daughter to marry. And in the schus of me and in the schus of you, maybe the child will come out straight. Anyway, he didn't come out straight. He was Menashe, who undid all the work that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. He killed his Zayda, Yishai Novi. He killed Yishai Novi. Is that what you're talking about? He was over every Avodah Zorah there was in the world. He was a Boki in Avodah Zorah. Anyway, Sof Yomav, what happened to him? He got caught by Melech Bobel, and they put him in a big pot, and they were cooking him alive. And he starts davening to all his Avodah Zorahs. And he's still in the pot cooking, because Avodah Zorah don't do too much. They can't help themselves. They're going to help you. And he's davening and davening. Eventually goes to all the Avodah Zorahs. Nothing. So he turns around to Hashem. Listen to this timer. He says like this to Hashem. Hashem, I'm davening to you because I have a Messiah that a person shouldn't give up hope in Hashem, even if Cherev, Oymel al Tzavarov, even if there's a sword on your neck, you never give up hope. Yeshua Hashem Cherev Ayin. And I'm turning to you now, like this. If you help me, then you're Hashem. But if you don't, then you're no different from all the Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, the Malachim are outraged by this timer as a chutzpah, and they start shutting all the gateways with tefillah. Tefillah has to go through a whole bunch of firmaments and gates, whatever. They like locking all the gates. The tefillah won't go up. What does Hashem do? He carves a tunnel through the back door, and he brings the tefillah up to his kisei kavod, and a big wind comes and blows Menashe out of the pot and blows him back to Yerushalayim. What do you do with this chazal? What was Menashe's taina? Yeah, Menashe wasn't a fool. Menashe wasn't an idiot. Menashe no kulu teira kulu. He wasn't an idiot. He wasn't a fool. To be a greater Rosh as Menashe, you grow up around Chizkiyahu and Yishai Novi, you know something. So listen to what his taina is. Rav Pinkus explains his taina like this. If you don't help me, Hashem, why aren't you helping me? Because I'm such a Rosh. That means your mercy is limited. It may be massive. It may be billions of times bigger than anything the Avodah Zorah has, but it's still Mugbal. And therefore you're no different from the Avodah Zorah, because they Mugbal and you Mugbal. But if you can help even me, I'm such a Rosh, and you can help even me, then you're Hashem, because then your mercy is infinite. And Hashem says, you're right. Go. You know what's been taught here? We think that Hashem's very merciful. Very, 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 very merciful. million, trillion times mercy than anything you've ever met. That's a big mistake to think like that. That's not how big Hashem's mercy is. Hashem's mercy is ain't soft. We haven't got a mussag of what it looks like. Because we don't know what infinite mercy looks like. The biggest mercy we can come up with is the mercy we have in our kids, and we know that it's humongous, but there's a certain point where, you know, don't push your luck, kid. Sorry. There's a certain point where no matter how much mercy a father has on his child, there's a point where you can be challenged. Hashem doesn't have that point. Because Hashem's mercy is infinite. And that's what the Rebbe Soloveitchik is telling us. We don't really understand. We don't understand this infinite aspect of Hashem. How could we? We're not infinite. But we have to learn more and more about Hashem. Take out a Rambam in Hilchos Deyos, in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, in Hilchos Teshuvah, and go learn what he says about Hashem then. Go look at the world, go understand how things are put together, go understand Hashem. That's one of the biggest things that prevents us from having Menuchas HaNefesh, is we haven't really bought into this infinite total control that Hashem has of my life. That's number six, if you add the other five. Interesting, I wouldn't have thought of this. A lack of knowledge about the mitzvahs of Hashem and His Torah. Where Hashem commands us to rely on Him and to have trust in Him. Bring all your ma'aser to the Beis HaOitzer of the Beis HaMikdash. V'teref be'beisi u'b'chanuni no b'zois amar Hashem Zakos im lo eftach lechem es arubo es ha'shamayim v'rikoysi lechem brocha ad lidai. You bring me your ma'aser to the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem says, and you will see what I have for you. I'll open up the storehouse of Shemayim, and I will burden you with chesed ad blidai. V'nem oed bitchu b'Hashem ad day ad. You have to have trust Him ad day ad. We've been commanded here to have betochen. Betochen is not just a nice eitzah toiva, like the Ramzorim in Bnei Brak, that you know, it's a good thing to do. You know, yeah. Who wants to live a stressful life? Betochen's a beautiful thing. I mean, we have the loli shmo. You're allowed to have the loli shmo. Have a bit of betochen. You're dying. You don't know what to do. Have a bit of betochen. Everybody uses betochen like that, but there's another dargah here. You're commanded in betochen. You have to have betochen shilolishmo. And the reason why we don't have enough betochen, why we lose our betochen, is because we don't have a clear enough understanding of the halachas of betochen. That person is chayv to have betochen. It's not a nice thing to do. You have to have betochen. If you think about it, it goes to the core of what our lives are about. It goes to the core of our emunah of Hashem. If you don't have betochen, so then, one second, where's your emunah? Who do you believe in? Who are you davening to? Why are you davening? Stirim in your bay. Ve'echad ha'dvarim, another one. This is number 8. Ha'manis ha'betochen hu. Netias ha'odom. A tendency that people have. Le'yaches yecholet. Le'goyin me'hagma. Sh'royo sambayinav. A tendency of people to attribute ability to the thing that finishes off a certain thing. We'll see what he means now. Because he sees that with his eyes. Hamaitzim es ha-ma'iris lepoil. You see this coming to fruition via some cause, and it's the cause you see, and therefore you relate to that cause. Ulitleis be'em es b'tchine ves tigbosom lasik l'yodem es shifosof. Therefore, we place in them our trust and our hope to get what we want to get. Miblis yosim leiv, without paying attention, shekachol shehagoyimim kreivim yoytze legimah pu'ula, the more a cause, which is causing the effect, is closer to the end of the series, yecholtam katana yoytze lehoyo lahazik, the smaller his ability gets to help or to hurt the person that is relying on this. Huh? Angel Bakery. Right. What's going to be with the bread? But the guy that's helping you the least is the Makolet guy. Where do you get your bread from? You ask the kid, where does milk come from? He'll tell you, from the Makolet. But you think about it, the Makolet's the guy that can help you the least with milk. Who's the biggest guy that can help you with milk? The dairy farmer, the guy that's got the cows. He also can't help you that much. You know, how does grass turn into blood into milk? You know, even the dairy farmer can't do that. The further you are away from the end result, the more you're controlling the scene. The closer you are to the end result. Oh. But I see Ba'ain that I'm getting milk from the dairy, from the Makolet. So that's where I put my trust. If he's sick one day and doesn't open the Makolet, which never happens, by the way. Ba'al Makolet was never sick and not in the Makolet. That only happens to Avreichim, but they don't come to work because they're sick. Ba'al Makolet never missed a day's work. The further the way they are, the further away from the end result that the cause is, the more able it is to impact and affect, even though you don't see it. Come on, a Moshel Melech. You use the Moshel of the Makolet. He brings the Moshel of the Melech. He wants to punish one of his avodim. He doesn't go out there and whip the Eved. He tells his prime minister to please go take care of the punishment. The prime minister is going to punish an Eved. What are you talking about? He's got the sar of justice. So he phones up the minister of justice. He says, you take care of it. The minister of justice is going to do with it. He sends it to the chief of police. The chief police not getting out of bed to do anything, so he sends it to the whatever, to the regional guy, whatever. He sends it to the policeman. And the police send it to the hangman, and the hangman does what he does with the tools at his disposal. So how many people have gone through the process of getting this poor guy's oinesh? 15, 20 people. Who's the guy that's most in charge of this oinesh? The king. He can stop whenever he wants, he can cause whenever he wants. The mafaked, he can't do anything. He can't help you. He can maybe try whatever, he can delay it, whatever, he can faff a little bit. The guy that's actually doing the hanging, what can he do? He's not going to lose his job over this. So he can, you know, give the guy one last request, maybe, you know, delay it for 5 minutes. The king can commute the sentence, you go home.
The one who's got the least ability to increase or decrease the tzal of the Eved,
that's the noose around his neck. That's the closest thing to him being hung, and it's the thing that has the least ability to do anything for him. They don't have any rotzen, they don't have bechira. The guy that's running the machine, you know, the hangman, so he's got a bit more koyach than the machines. The guy above him's got more, etc., etc. I'm even yovid. And obviously the Melech has more than everybody. Because if he wants, he lets the Eved go. Or he tells him, torture him for 2 days before you hang him. Or he's in charge of what's going to happen to this guy. You see there, for mamash real. The ability of somebody to help you is dependent on the distance between you and the thing you're relying on to help you. Yoitze, for it comes out therefore. Therefore, who do you have trust in? They ever trust the machine, he trusts the katzin, the shaitan? No, he's hoping to the melech. He's the furthest thing away from what's actually causing, that you can see is causing this. Therefore, his ability to help or hurt in any given situation is the strongest over everybody. So why are you trusting the doctor? He can do almost nothing. You talk to Hashem, he's the furthest away right now. According to what we see, he's actually the closest. But what we see... Now, the klala adover, and then you have to stop. When it comes to betochen, it comes out like this. To the extent that a person recognizes Hashem more, the more you have imunah that Hashem is guarding you and taking care of you, and it's all from infinite goodness, the more you'll have a tochen in Hashem, which is poshut. The more you have a relationship with somebody, the more you trust that person, you know, you're going to trust, you enter business with somebody, in the first month or two, you're watching your pockets, you're checking out, whatever. After being a business guy for 50 years and he's never stolen from you, whatever, you start trusting him more, you build a relationship. To the extent that a person comes to know and understand and recognize Hashem more and more, in the greater world and in his own life more and more, to that extent you'll come to trust him. And then he'll says, I'll prove it to you, which you're going to have to wait till tomorrow to see the proof of it. I was a ma'od poshut to see this in our own lives. You don't have to go too far. Plenty examples where you see how much chesed Hashem's doing for us. You just have to stop and think. The problem is we don't stop. The Navi's taina against Klal Yisrael is Ami lo mizboinen. My nation doesn't think. Hashem's taina against us is not that we're a shoyim or we're doing this or we're doing that. Just stop and think. It's like 5 minutes a day just to think who's running the show, that's all. And the more you come to realize and recognize Hashem, ultimately the ikka way to do that, the Sefer Chinuch says, if you really want to come to know and learn love Hashem, learn His Torah. Learn His Torah. Mizboinin in the Bria, and learn His Torah. Those are the two brochas we say before Kriya Shema, Yotzeh Ma'ayreis. Before you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Avas Hashem, so what are the two brochas before that meichin you for Shema? Yotzeh Ma'ayreis. Go meditate on the heavens and the stars and the whole unbelievable cosmos that's out there. And what's the second bracha we make? What's the second achana you need for Shema? Because of Torah. There's the two Rambams. The one in the Rambam says you want to come to Avos Hashem, Mizboinin in the Bria, and Mizboinin in Torah. Ah, so Oshrab Simcha Vassaman, why can't I just be Mizboinin? I mentioned this before. Why can't I just be Mizboinin in the Bria? What I have to go learn Torah for? It's much harder. I'll go sit in Mount Everest, I'll Mizboinin in the Bria. You can't find Hashem in Mount Everest, you got no hope. So he said to me, the problem is if you don't know how to be Mizboinin in the Bria properly, you'll back up into thinking you're a monkey. Therefore you need to go learn Torah to teach you how to be Mizboinin in the Bria. But once you've done that, for sure you should be Mizboinin in the Bria. The Bale Musa knew how to be Mizboinin in the Bria. The great Bale Musa used to go for walks in the forest, they knew how to be Mizboinin in the Bria. We don't properly. So first learn a bit of Torah, and then you can be Mizboinin in the Bria properly. Chinuch says Mafurish, Avas Hashem is Mukhrach through learning Torah. The more you learn Torah, the more you love Hashem. Simple. The more you love Him, the more you'll trust Him. It's all simple, guys. I don't want you to come to share Him to others. So just go do it. Posh it. Hey.
We have obstacles to learn Torah.
The biggest great sorry you have, that's why. The purpose of the world is to get close to Hashem. Nothing brings you close to Hashem like Limud HaTorah. So the Eitz Sora says, I'm going to let you learn Torah. Go do mitzvahs the whole day, just don't learn Torah.
How long ago?
How long ago?